This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by the original E10 Mess lineup, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the gun show, Adam Sampson, and the very tanned guest, Julian Fern. What a pleasure. That, what a tan this is. If you could only see this tan, then you'd be shocked, because you are a lovely, delicious glow, Julian.
Thank you.
Honestly.
We've all got our sunglasses.
Was that 9 minutes or 12 minutes?
2 sessions of 12, yeah.
Yeah? I'm glad. Did you get like in a block booking? Yeah, you got the discount.
Yeah,
that's what I like from you. I won't expect no one else. Well, this is the Leighton Orient Fan Show. We're going to be talking about that 1-1 draw with Carlisle on the weekend. Then we're going to be looking towards the game on the weekend with Morecambe. We're going to be doing our housekeeping with Brendan, giving you all the updates, the media man, and how the women are getting on. And also, delight to say, we might have a very special guest on the line. We will keep you up to date with that one. Let's take a look at the game, though, on the weekend, because it was Cole Fletcher's first home game. 1-1. You were all there. Adam, I'll start with you. What did you make of the game? Happy with a point or 2 points dropped?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was a tale of two halves. First off, we've struggled most of the season in the first half to look like a solid team and normally come out well in the second half. But on Saturday, it was the opposite. We were very good in the first half. I was quite impressed with how we were moving the ball, quick passing. It looked like a slightly different tactics around. Marvin was playing right back and he was coming into the middle of the pitch. The only thing I would say in the first half, we didn't create too many chances. We scored a penalty, Josh Wright, another goal. I'm not sure how much that is, but he's a top scorer, I think, this season from midfield, which is good. We didn't test their keeper too much. That was the only problem. And I think we went into the half-time, personally, I did anyway, thinking with all that possession, we probably should have been a couple up at least. And then, obviously, second half come out, a different story. Not very good performance, slightly worrying in terms of what we saw, possibly up there with some of the worst we've seen this season in that second half.
Yeah, because I watched Cole Fletcher's like post-game press conference when he does it, and he got asked the question, should you have tested the keeper more? And he said, maybe. And I thought, surely the answer to that question is, even if you're 5-0 up, you want to test the keeper as much as possible. The only answer to that question is yes. So he said maybe. Adam already mentioned it, Julian, but you've got to be testing the keeper as much as possible in any football game.
Yeah, I think for me, the game, I thought was quite electric in the first 20 minutes. Very forward-thinking. I said to the people around me, I think, yeah, okay, this, I can see this could be the style Cole's trying to dictate onto the side. But my only disappointment, one of my disappointments of the game is our defending was absolute a shower of you-know-what to concede the goal. And we've done that probably 3 or 4 times this season where we've got 3 or 4 players in the box, not quite sure what to do. Looks like us four here playing on a 5-a-side pitch, you know, someone just want to kick it out, just kick it out. And that's caused that problem.
You've seen me play.
Yeah. I've seen the videos. But then the other thing for me in the second half is again, it's like they may be tired, appreciate it, but two long trips away and the players may be a little bit tired and trying to learn new things in a very short period of time. But ultimately, we should at least just kept our shape and our discipline, and that just went very, very quickly.
Well, I was going to ask, obviously it's very early to tell because it is only 2 games with Cole Fletcher, but Julian's already mentioned the style that he thinks Cole is going to play. But Brendan, before all that, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, like Adam said, it's a game of two halves, definitely. I think the first 20 minutes were extremely promising. Like, I was looking around thinking, oh, we're on here, we've got a really good manager. Kind of different style, like kind of 1-2 passing, pressing really high. And then kind of as it wore on, we kind of dropped off a bit. And I think you can kind of put that down to fatigue of like 2 big away days. We had Grimsby and then Plymouth, and then trying to adapt with this new style.
Yeah,
I think kind of might have played a part, definitely, all that travelling. So you look at it and you think maybe we could have played better in the second half, definitely. But really, I think you can build on that first 20 minutes. I think there were definitely ideas being implemented there, and I think that's a positive to build on.
Yeah, that was a nice bit to see, isn't it? So we saw something different, yeah, and that was really good. My disappointment was like 4 shots on target, I think, I read, you know, over 90 minutes. And with that domination in the first half where we was going forward so quickly, just to get only 4 shots on target and only have...
So against the team we were struggling, have had 4 defeats on the spin.
Yes, yeah, right, and 57% of the possession across the 90 minutes, roughly 50-50, isn't it? So you're going... Yeah, those stats don't really show that we were prolific. But we got to hope on Saturday at Morecambe that goes on again. You know, we play more than 20 minutes really well. We play a whole half. And hopefully by the end of the season, we may get to 90 minutes. Be fabulous, you know, playing that same rhythm. But we've got players coming back in position. And hopefully Liango in a few weeks' time. And I think we'll get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Well, there's 2 questions I want to ask. One, did you think it was a penalty for the foul on Brophy, the one that Josh Wright converted?
No.
Well, there we go. And the second question is, how impressed were you with Josh Wright's the length of his school disco knee slide? Because I thought he really got...
Yeah.
I mean, conditions helped. I mean, it was wet, yeah, but he did get some
conditions for him.
He knew it as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
I love it.
I'm going to go for a while.
He didn't go to the corner flag. You got to get the full length.
He goes, that's where he goes now to celebrate his goal.
True.
He's trying to impress the new manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know.
The new manager looking down.
But imagine if he slid straight into the dugout.
He took off his feet.
But Adam, for you, was it a foul?
It was one of them ones where the
defender knew he was beat.
Yeah. The defender knew he was beat. However, just before that, Brophy got taken down in almost exactly the same circumstances.
Yeah, he could have had a penalty before.
It was, for me, Stonewall penalty. It was one of them ones where the ref knew he'd made a mistake. He got a bit of an earful afterwards. Mm. And I think it was a bit of a make-up call because it was shoulder to shoulder for me. I don't think it was really a penalty. But yeah, I think we probably deserve one. 2 minutes before that, so there you go.
Also, Brophy's quite a strong player, you know. I remember when he was with us on loan from Swindon, and when he put a player into the hoardings once on the shoulder bars near on the West End, and then he left us. I thought, I'm going to miss that. And I think he knows what he's doing. He's a very strong lad. He's very clever. And guess what? A little tap in the box, you're going to go down and get a penalty. Yeah, you're right. I think the first one was more on to be a real penalty. Mm. That was just a luck of the draw. But he took it well. Josh took it well. But that still disappoints me. We've got midfielders scoring. We're still not scoring with our front three, and we need to be doing that.
Yeah, and the manager mentioned that maybe the ref was reflecting on that first one. That's maybe why I give it the second one. We know they're fortunate. Brendan, I want to turn it round because Carlisle felt that they should have had a penalty in the first half. Now, I want to mention this because Kieran Critchard, who does the Championship show, the Premier League fan show on Love Sport Radio, he is adamant that that was a penalty. And I'm not just saying it because this is the Orient fan show. That is by no means a penalty. Not even a percent for me. He's already turned round. He's made bundles of it. No way was that a penalty. If you can take your Orient hat off, Brendan, what was it for you?
Yeah, I agree. It's not a penalty for me.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, Kieran, you're listening because I know you are, because we had quite a heated row about it earlier. He was adamant it was a penalty.
Brendan has the final word on stuff like this. So
Brendan's the knowledge.
That's it, over. Forget it.
He was in the press box as well, so whatever Brendan says. Yeah.
You're telling me we're only coming up with this now? Yeah. I don't like this,
Brendan. I had the best view of whether it's a penalty or not.
Right, okay. And who was you mixing with? Yeah, champagne, Prosecco, yeah, Brendan?
Mm. Doing match reports, doing important journalistic business.
Work, was it? Work, yeah. Working 9 to 5, that's what they say. Mm, very interested. Glad you've turned up. We know how you lot live because, Brendan, look at the colour of him. I mean, it's absolutely glorious. I'm staring. I'm forgetting all my notes on this show. Let's quickly go back to what the manager had to say after the game, because there were some answers I wasn't sure of, but there was a few questions when he didn't sort of shirk as well. He didn't shy away from it. You know, he said, wanting to get about better. And he said, well, look, even when we are winning, we're scoring goals. Man City don't just not train and rest on their laurels. They try to work. He said, whether we're winning or we're losing, we'll always have areas of improvement. I thought it was a very good answer. And he said that, you know, the lads have really dug in here. And it just felt like to me, the things he was saying about the team, the message he was giving across, you know, he wasn't hiding away. I know Ross was a good speaker. You've mentioned before, Julian, that he likes the media work. But how pleased were you to hear the manager say these things?
I was fairly critical of his first interview at Plymouth. He's speaking well. I think he's now getting comfortable, and the expectations upon people are going to listen and hang on every word. I think it was something brought out in the press by the club. Just to reiterate that some of the comments he made were taken slightly out of context, and they get that. And guess what? It's quite funny, actually. You get in sort of Leighton Orient's managers' comments taken out of context, and they blow up on social media. Surprise, surprise. So for me, I'm doing my 10 match like we did with Ross. You give the guy 10 matches. This is the system we're going to play. Harry comes across, embedded into the role he's doing, and before we really make any harsh comments against him.
Julian, why is 10 games such a perfect like yardage marker for you?
It's an easy number, yeah. I'm a bit of a div, yeah. So okay. I need to add that. No, 10 games, I think, again, and then you think even my own working life, you know, 10 weeks, 10 days, they're just good multiple numbers that you can put sort of a good view of good, bad, the ugly over that period of time. And I don't think we've been too ugly. You know, Plymouth was a disappointment, but he didn't have much to do there. I think from Saturday, we're judging from Saturday right through to the next 10 games. But I just think he's got to embed himself in. He's still... I'm not sure. I'm not in his shoes. He is... But I still feel he's probably still treading slightly on eggshells around the legacy, which was Justin. So he's just got to...
He has to do that, doesn't he?
Which is right. He's just got to spend that time now just sort of making it his and taking that forward.
I do think he has to sort of... Obviously, the situation is very unique and he's got to be a bit careful. But at the end of the day, he is now the manager and it is football, and I think he needs to put his stamp on it. Otherwise, the players aren't going to... respect him and acknowledge what he's trying to tell him. I think on the post-match interview, I was a bit disappointed with some of his comments that he was happy with a draw, which I think you've got to be a bit careful, because I did notice on Saturday that normally you get a new manager and there's a big cheer and they announce his name and everyone cheers as he comes out, and it was a bit tepid. There wasn't many people really talking about it. The people around me were a bit like, that was a bit of a strange appointment. Obviously willing to give him time. I think he's got a get the Orient fans on his side. I think it's very difficult for him, as we've discussed, in the circumstances as well, which doesn't help him. But I do think that I get what he's doing, defending the players and stuff, but 1-0 up at home against a struggling team, I want a bit more. I want him to come out and say, you know what, that wasn't good enough second half. We wanted to win. We should have won it. And next week, I'm going to make sure we will. Something like that. And I think he's speaking after games. He seems, I don't know what it is, a bit nervous. I don't know if full of football cliches, lots of you know, and it. I just want a bit more from him. I want a straight talk. I want to know what his ideas are. I want to know more about him, etc. And I think, you know, 10 games will probably give us an idea. I do think, in terms of his contract, he got 18 months at the when he was brought in, and I think that they're giving him this season to see what he can do. I think if he does a relatively good job. I can't imagine, even if we're really struggling, unless we're at the bottom, I think he's going to carry on, and they're going to hopefully see that he's up for it next season. Then he can build on the squad and bring his own players in, and we can push on. I think he's got a bit to do to get Orient fans on side.
Is that worrying though? Because I know some fans were underwhelmed, let's say, with the appointment, and if that sort of feeds into the crowd, if they're not the warmest or the loudest reception for him, can that feed into the players? Can that feed into their confidence? Because they go, they're not sold on him either. We're unsure at the minute. We've not used Julian's 10 game yardage marker, so we don't know how we feel. Can that feed in? Because people pick up on these things, don't they, Julian?
Yeah, I think the interview Dean Brill made, and I think the knowledge to talk a little bit more about that, I think it was showing that he is putting his stamp on the discipline of the team. So that was already in that short period of time. My son was at the training ground on the Friday. We had the open day for sponsors, and he went there in my place.
Yeah. Where's that go?
Yeah, okay. But you see, it was really, really funny to see where you expect Ross and Danny doing a lot of the work, the coaches. Carl was doing everything.
Really?
Yeah, and Ross and Daniel were watching. So they was trying to implement probably what we delivered on the first 20 minutes of the game on Saturday. So he's very much hands-on. How the period of time that pans out, I don't know. I just think from the way he holds himself in interviews, I just think he's probably been a little bit out of sync in recent years. Like we were at our first show here. I think if you look back to that, there was a lot your nose and what have you. So
that's just me.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And they pay you.
Yeah.
And but for that, I just think he'll get better. I'm really confident he'll get better. He seems a lovely bloke. Brendan can vouch for that. He met him on Saturday up in the press box. I do feel, but one thing you did say, I don't think what us lot think about Carl is really going to affect the players at this stage. What will happen in 10 games' time, we're absolutely falling down that league, we're playing crap football, we're all booing like we usually do when we play crap football, and what ends up there is that the players, that will rub off on the players, and we need to back the team.
Well, Brendan, they say first impressions count. What did you make of him, and what did you learn from that experience?
He was a very nice guy, yeah. Said hello to me, said goodbye to me where he left.
Well, he's polite.
Yeah, he's a polite man, yeah.
What did you learn?
He likes beer and Moretti after the game.
Okay.
Were you down there when he did the post-match interview?
No, I was busy working. I went down for Dean Brill's interview afterwards. And Dean Brill was very interesting because he wanted to get across definitely that Fletcher has his own style of play, and we implemented that in the first 20 minutes, and then maybe it kind of fell off a bit, but he was very clear that Fletcher's ideas are there and he's got certain ideas, and they're going to take time to be put across, but they are going to happen. Like, it's not going to be done. I think they had about maybe 4 or 5 hours on the training pitch this week.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to get a style of play across in that time, so yeah. There's more to come, definitely.
Is certainly more to come. It is so early on, we're going to need time, the players are going to need time to adjust to that period. How much time will they need? Well, they've got a run of games now, and it starts with Morecambe on the weekend.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge Brendan Pitcher, the glorious tanned Julian Fern, and the gun show Adam Sampson. Now, we turn our attentions to not only the knowledge, but he is the media manager of the women's side, and they are going very well, Brendan. What is the latest?
Yeah, last Wednesday, we won 14-0 against Burgess Hill.
Take that, Leicester.
Pretty incredible result.
But you'd rather be on the radio than go and support the girls, yeah?
Okay. Couldn't make that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you.
Can I just say that?
At least you was working, somebody would just take holidays or whatever. So go on, Adam.
The Twitter account for that night was on fire.
It was good, actually. It was very good, actually.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Brendan, 14-0. Yeah,
even Dean Cox even turned up to watch it. So I missed, not only did I miss 14 goals, I missed meeting Dean Cox. So
a bit of a
man missing that one. But then on Sunday we played QPR away in the FA Cup and made it through to the first round proper of the FA Cup. So
quality.
We've never got further than the first round proper, so it's a good achievement to get there.
And who have you been drawn against in that first round?
So the draw was on Monday, and we're playing the winner of Exeter or Cheltenham away. So even though it was a regionalised draw, we've come up with pretty much the furthest away we could have possibly got. So
what's the biggest club in there from the first round?
You don't get the Championship or the Women's Super League teams until round four, so you've got quite a while to go. Mm-hmm. But you've got, I think, teams like Leeds were in the northern section, teams like that. But mostly, yeah, teams around our level. So you don't get really any of the big boys yet.
Are the ladies looking forward to that first round?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Speaking after the game, our winger, Sophie Lamarchand, was very keen on getting a good draw and getting this kind of... We've got to the first round quite a few times, but never actually got past it. And I think,
is this a good chance to get past it?
Well, I think we've got the best squad we've had in years. And I think Exeter or Cheltenham, I don't know a lot about them, but they're around the same kind of level as us, and we're doing well in our league, so I see no reason why we can't go there and make the second round.
Sarah, Sarah.
Loving the confidence. And when will Orient find out who they're playing in their first round? Or do they know? Have I missed it?
The men's.
Yeah.
What? The men's.
Yeah, we've played Maldon and Tiptree.
Last week, saying it was Maldon and Tiptree, two sides coming together to play against Orient. I was sitting there across the other side of the world going,
confused.
You idiot.
I'm getting confused. I'm getting
selected for overseas coverage, no less. So yeah. Moved to a Sunday.
I'm not sure who in Australia is going to be watching that.
Because it was interesting, because I'm getting confused because Orient, there was a game and it was cancelled. That was because 2,000 Ajax fans.
That's
been moved and been cancelled, hasn't it?
Deleting.com.
/UK Cup trophy, the game got moved because they were worried. Oh,
yeah.
Is that right? That would have been brilliant. Why wouldn't the club want that though?
The policing bill might have been a bit larger than normal for the game, so it might have been best to move it.
great match day revenue for Leighton Orient, though, isn't it?
I think so when you've got to fork out of police and builders more.
Yeah, but someone did tweet and worked it out. So that if minimum entry without booze and what have you is something like $12,000 they would have sort of taken on the door. Plus drinks, plus what have you. But then probably
if they turn up as well.
Yeah, but then the police have probably been about sort of $5,000 of that going out the other hand. So it's playing on the Wednesday. Yeah, so we'll see out of us lot who's a real fan who wants to turn up here and do the show or go there. I'm not going either.
What, I think it's the only
to the game or to the, to
I'm
the
coming
studio.
Here.
Are you coming here?
The
it's,
warm.
It's the only trophy, competition where the clubs openly would rather have less fans in the ground, because there's going to be like, I don't know who's turning up, so it won't be Brighton's under 23, but I can't imagine it's more than 500. But yeah, could have had 2,500 there, but bottled it.
2,500.
Yeah. Bottled it, yeah, exactly. They did bottle it. I would have gone, I would have been with the Ajax fans. When I saw that, that was the game I was going to go.
I must admit, it would have been good for the TV, good for sort of like around the world, sort of making Orient. But I think, as the noise you were saying earlier, I think the guy who was stoking the fire was a single Twitter account and he had a limited number of followers. And I think he was very good at what he was doing and how he was sort of bringing the troops together and then you get us idiots going, oh, well, yeah, you can bring them in, yeah, you can come, blah, 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 blah. Thinking, if I was in Ajax shoes and I was in London, the last thing I would want to do is go and watch Leighton Orient. I'd rather go in a pub somewhere and watch the game on the telly and have a few jars.
Yeah, but you say that, if they've made the trip and they want to see a game of football and they're going to be 2,000 strong in the stand.
Who would you rather go and watch? Your club go and play and watch at the TV, so good coverage, or go and watch a Mickey Mouse trophy with two sides, one of you don't know where they are and the other one is a load of under 23s.
Yeah, but if I'm over in London for a game and let's go to a game because we're going to be boozing either way. So yeah, let's go to a game. Okay. It'd be a laugh.
The Dutch are made from different stuff as well, aren't they? To be fair.
Yeah. Julian's not having it. He's not happy.
I like him. Everyone's got an opinion. Yeah. It's called football.
It certainly is. Well, we'll be hoping that the women obviously make it past the first round for the first time. And when is that game, Brendan?
That'll be the same day as the men's FA Cup game, so Sunday the 10th of November.
Oh, Lord, he's a
it's
split.
A Sunday as well?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
So what one are you going to be at, Brendan?
Undecided as yet.
What? You're the media manager of the women's team?
I also work for the men's team. So.
I think me and Ed should go and do the media for the girls' team. That'd be a good laugh. Yeah, we're
day trip. Day trip to Exeter.
Yeah, we'll be good on Twitter.
Have these two come and watch the women's game yet? Because Julian made a big song and dance about it.
Yeah. I live closer now. I'll come down.
Yeah.
Well,
Brendan's not buying it. Well, let's talk about the new man then, because I know you've all said that you've watched those interviews. You're not. No, I'm saying it's a couple of strange things that he said, happy with a point and he's not really used to it. Julian, you said he's got some rust to knock off, there's still a little bit for him to get up and running with it. But overall, have you changed your opinion at all? Because you were a little bit underwhelmed at the start. Are you now thinking, maybe this was the right appointment and we'll see where we go for the rest of the season?
I wasn't underwhelmed when Cole was announced. I think we had sort of 2 weeks prior to that, 3 weeks, where we were coming out with some absolute corkers of names that we all thought could have the job.
We were having a good time going through it.
Brilliant, and I was absolutely sort of carved up on Twitter about my Ian Holloway statement, so that was quite funny. Listen, and I think Brendan raised a point, and he wrote a really good article about it. If you look at League Two, and sort of there are lots of younger managers in that league, sort of finding their way in their craft. And we've got to have the opportunity. And Carl, if you look at his background, yes, forget Plymouth, he had a bit of a tough time there, but he's been working with one of the most successful English managers we've seen in recent years, Eddie Howe. It's been a club that's sort of gone on that journey from being sort of in the basement right through to where they're holding their own in the Premier League season in, season out. They're playing good football. They've got good youth set up. We've had some, I think, a couple of youth players over the years from Bournemouth, I think, as a striker now.
Harry Cornick.
Yeah, and a few others. So I'm hoping in Saturday's first 20 minutes, we say 20 minutes, is anything to go on, and that's the style of play we're going to try to go forward with, the man's okay.
One thing I would say in terms of the positives from Saturday and I guess the appointment is that I am sort of verging on excitement for the
hang on. We ain't seen this for months.
Want some water, mate?
You
sure?
Yeah. That you know, we've got a manager.
We know where
in...
he was before the show.
We've got a manager in who's at a forward-thinking club under a forward-thinking young manager, and I think over the years it's difficult in the lower leagues to get a manager in who's a bit different, who brings something a bit different. When you get an experienced manager in, normally, you know, they've been around knocking around the lower leagues for years, and it's 4-4-2 long ball. And on Saturday, their first 20 minutes, although obviously we need to do it more consistently for longer, there was some interesting formations and tactics. I think I mentioned earlier, I noticed that Marvin Ekpeteta was starting at right back, and he was coming into the centre midfield and packing the midfield a little bit, whether that was by direction or he was just wandering around.
Got
I'm
lost.
Not sure. But obviously, like Sheffield United in the Premier League are making headlines for some of their weird and wonderful
overlapping
uses of
yeah.
fullbacks and stuff like that. Whether that works in League Two and whether that, you know, sometimes you do need to keep it simple will remain to be seen. But I think it'd be interesting to see his journey and the evolution of how he actually builds the team in January and how he implements his ideas and what he actually brings. Because I'd love Orient to be a team where we have a manager that's thinking outside the box, that we bring in players that are not necessarily fancied by other teams, but the analysts have seen something in them. And, you know, trying to get the extra 1%, you know, in baseball, it's the money ball stuff of, you know, doing what we can with what we've got. But maybe Fletcher has one eye on that sort of stuff. He's a young manager, maybe forward thinking, something a bit different for us to see every Saturday.
Do you think, guys, that he will bring in some new players in January?
I think he's got to be honest with you. I think we are lacking still in certain areas. But I think those areas are areas we lacked in when Justin was here and he didn't really get adequate replacements. Or we got promoted, so I guess you can't complain. But it feels like there's almost a blind spot in Martin Ling's rearview mirror of centre midfield and someone who can break play up. And I still think we're short up front. Obviously, we've got Harold and Larby fit at the moment, and Dennis could probably play there at a push. But as soon as we lose Ango and Wilkinson, you know, you can't guarantee he's not going to get re-injured or something like that. I think we need more goals from our strikers, and I think we've got to bring a couple in at least.
Okay, so that's a couple of forwards midfield. So, and also George Marsh goes back, or his loan period is ended in January. So potentially he could go back or go somewhere else on loan. So we could lose.
Could they extend it?
I don't know. Possibly.
Would you want them to extend it?
I actually quite like the kid. I think he when he's played, he does marshal that. Ding dong. He does play well in front of the back four. He does protect them, and that's something we miss. And for me on Saturday, I think the way we moved the ball and some of the movement, and we got some great play there. And for me, I was trying to work out before I asked that question, who would we release to replace them with? And there's not a lot of players there. I go, oh, they're absolute rubbish here. Get rid of those. I think we know there's one name on that list that probably needs to go out on loan somewhere else because he's not going to make it as a pro at Orient long term. But the reality is, there's most of those players there deserve the opportunity. But I just do think we do need a sort of a sprinkling of slightly better talent, and hopefully from Fletcher's sort of contacts at under 23 level across the board and at Bournemouth, we may get a couple of superstars come our way.
Well, it's very interesting to see who they may bring in under that new manager and obviously what formation he will be playing, because it's dominated the earlier shows, and just how will that new man change it?
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, The Gun Show, Adam Sampson, and the very tanned Julian Fern, a.k.a. The Guest. Just quickly, in the Carabao Cup, is Arsenal beating Liverpool Anfield 3-2. Man United are beating Chelsea 1-0, and Aston Villa are beating Wolves 1-0 also. Three games tonight in action there. We will keep you across those, but a bit of a thriller at Anfield. Five goals, and the second half is just kicking off. But this is the Orient Fan Show. We only talk about the O's. I want to quickly talk about the form... Julian?
No, sorry. I was going to say, I've got an idea, but I'll shut up.
Okay, well, this is your show. I was going to say, whatever we want to talk about those, we can. But we want to hear from you as well. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. And a big theme of the show is obviously when Ross was in charge and at the start of the season, we were talking about this three at the back and the formation. Have you seen anything in the last two games under the new man that maybe, obviously, the football is obviously the style of play is going to be different, the formations are going to be different, but what have you seen so far, Brendan, and are you liking it?
It looks like a 4-3-3 to me. He kind of switched it up at the end of the game on Saturday when he took off Matt Harold and kind of played Louis Dennis and James Brophy as kind of wide strikers without any focal point. He probably, on reflection, will look at that and think maybe he got it wrong there, but I'd expect him to go 4-3-3 on Saturday. And I spoke to a Plymouth fan who was telling me about his time, Fletcher's time at the club there, and he said straight off for that first season where he kept him up, it was kind of direct, back to the wall, try and just get him out of trouble. Like, but then in the second season where he kind of struggled a bit more was when he tried to put like his style of play, and he said it was during the time of Spain's like Euro 2012 and the false nine, and he was saying he tried to go with that false nine in League Two, and it kind of didn't work out for him. But it's been, 6-7 years now, so you've got to hope he's probably learned from his experience and he's probably a better coach now than he was at Plymouth then.
Don't you think he was more 4-5-1 Saturday?
You can call it 4-5-1, you can call it 4-3-3. It's 4-5-1 when we're defending.
No, the knowledge says it's 4-3-3, it's 4-3-3.
Yeah, sorry, I apologise.
You can call it 4-5-1 when we're defending and 4-3-3 when we're attacking. Like, I don't
fluid.
Think Harold lacked a bit of support up there. He'd done a lot of the donkey work, which he's probably there for, but
choice of words.
I feel like he won a lot of balls and held up a lot of balls, but there weren't really anyone to lay him off to. Brophy played quite well, but he come deep a lot to pick the ball up and run at defenders. I didn't really feel like we had much threat up front, and there wasn't that, you know, the ball was sticking, but then once it left Harold, it was always going back. There wasn't much going forward.
But I think you've seen the last couple of games before Wilkinson got sent off. I think he comes deep and get the ball, very Mooney-esque. You know, if he's not going to get up to him, I'll go and find it. And I really don't like for strikers doing that, because ultimately...
Really?
I just think you've got to have enough talent in that midfield. And where Adam was pointing out earlier that we were a bit light in the midfield, I think your midfield should be for making those opportunities. Not many good players are going to score a goal from the halfway line. So... we need to be pushing, pressing high. And Harold's got the talent to do that. He's one of the best hold-up players we've had for a long while. Can he get the ball to him? He can hold it up, bring other players into play. I'm really looking forward to seeing Wilkinson back. I think he's going to be back Saturday. Whether he starts or not, that's a different approach. He was starting to get some run of form and then gets the stupid red card, and that's meant he's missed the last three games. Regards to sort of the systems, we just got to feel it with and see what he does, you know, over the next couple of games. He's still playing the players that would have started probably under Ross. So will he change that? Marvin's the one that's probably has now stayed at the right back position. Especially we had Judd on the bench; he was fit, so he probably see that's a very solid back. But for Marv, for me, is he going to do that like we did with Cuthbert that year? We nearly got promoted. We had played the centre back at right back and Scotty, but Scotty had an amazing player in front of him who did a lot of the hard work for him. So I'm just interested, and I'm not going to be too opinionated until we see a good few games under
Ten.
Yeah, ten. No, ten.
I think we'll see.
Ten is when I start saying get him out.
But I think we'll see Turley in the right back. To be honest with you, he's come back on the bench and he was decent last year. I think once he gets his full fitness up, he'll probably play in the FA Cup game. I reckon he'll come in at right back because obviously Judd isn't fancied. It was his chance with Ling being injured, and he's played one game and got dropped. But I'm all up for playing, you know, Brew up front, put in one of the strikers in goal. Let's try some weird and wonderful things. Yeah,
get a good bit of press as well, wouldn't we? Really, that help. You know,
yeah,
help.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to ask, because it was interesting. You were talking about Fletcher's style then. You know, talking about Sheffield United doing the overlapping centre backs, and maybe he was trying to do that. And sometimes got to keep it simple. Does that work in League Two? Then Brendan just mentioned that, you know, he was trying to do the Spain, the false number nine, saying, you know, maybe we said maybe he's learned from his time
out as well.
he's learned. We said from his time. You know, he's had time to adjust it, but there's still maybe some traits then that he is, what he's seeing, you know, he's looking at other clubs and he's trying to implement that rather than his own style. Is that a worry, Adam?
I think the substitutions on Saturday reeked of overthinking it a bit. I think he had limited options on the bench because obviously we've got a couple of strikers out. But if you look at the team in the last 5 minutes, as Brendan said, we had two forwards in inverted commas who aren't forwards and were playing as basically wingers, but up front. They were our furthest players forward. You had basically every midfielder at the club was playing in some position or other. They didn't really look like they knew what they were doing. So I think I'm all for him trying new things and implementing them. But like you said, there is probably an element of it is League Two. You can't overthink it that much. There are points you need to play 4-4-2 with a big striker up there and hoof it long to him. But I'll be interested to see what he does with it. I think the players need to adapt potentially to his style and these substitutions if they do go a bit left field like they did on Saturday. But yeah, interesting to see what happens.
Didn't you not hear sort of the pass in the first 20 minutes was going, olay, every time they pass the ball, yeah. we just got to wait and see. I'd be really interested for me is to see what he does over the next couple of games, especially what you said with Turley coming back in. I don't know what Ling's injury, does anyone know how long Ling's going to be out for?
I think him and McAnuff are kind of in the same category now, yeah. Of we don't really know yet. They're kind of on the way back, but not sure. Angle is definitely 2 to 3 weeks and he'll be back, and that'll be interesting to see if he prefers 4-3-3. You can't play 4-3-3 really with Angle and Wilkinson in the same team unless you play one on the wing, and ideally I think our best team includes both Angle and Wilkinson, so well, that'll be interesting.
What's one thing sort of that concerns me is the lack of Joby on the pitch, and as I said, we've not got a date, and I know he's had a couple of sort of it's fullbacks from his injury, and I'd really be really upset if he doesn't. We don't see him again play for Orient again this season. He has such an impact on what we did last year, how the promotion, how he worked and carried some of those younger players, and that'd be such a sad thing to do. Not him given the opportunity to have another season in League Two at least.
He had an interesting role on Saturday though. He was up in the press box. Watching it from like the high angle with an earpiece into Ross Embleton, which was, I thought, was quite interesting.
That is interesting.
I often wonder why coaches don't do that more. It's a completely different angle. I think you get a lot more scope.
It's very American
happening.
Style. NFL, someone's watching it from above and they're relaying the information of what's going on.
Ross was feeding that into Carl as well. Yeah. And
this could be an
why are you laughing? Was Joby in the toilet in the second half then?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not sure what you've seen in the second half.
Julian, very cheeky indeed. Well, it is Morecambe on the weekend. We're going to be looking at that game. It's huge fixtures. Also, obviously, we're talking about the FA Cup first round. Leighton Orient play Maldon and Tiptree. If you're listening and you're a big Maldon and Tiptree fan, obviously you are, we want you to come on to provide the opposition view, because otherwise me and Mike, we're really going to struggle to get you. But it is the Morecambe opposition for you next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern, the very tan guest, and the gun show, Adam Sampson. And I would like to apologise to Adam's Mrs. Sally, because I'm keeping you up to date, as I'm keeping everyone up to date at Love Sport Towers. Sally, if you're listening, Liverpool have scored. Don't worry, Arsenal's still winning 4-3, but it's the Ox. He has come back to haunt Arsenal there. What a game though, 7 goals, but we're talking about the O's, and rightly so, because this is the Orient Fan Show. This is your team, your voice, and joining us now is Joel Shooter, a Morecambe fan, going to be previewing the game for us. Joel, it's a real pleasure to have you on. It's a massive game on the weekend, maybe even bigger for Morecambe because they are at the bottom of the table. What are your thoughts ahead of this one?
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming, Joel.
Great, it's massive for us, obviously, last weekend against Stevenage. Really disappointing. We had a goal ruled out, and then they got a late winner from a corner. To be honest, though, they deserved it. We played really poorly. So, obviously, we need to bounce back this weekend, get at the bottom of the table. And also, as I'm sure you know, you've all seen Jim Bentley leaving the club. Absolutely massive. And it's Kevin Ellison, Barry Roach in charge for the first time. So, it'll be really interesting to see what kind of approach they take towards this game.
And Jim Bentley was the longest serving manager in the EFL at the time, right? So how big of an impact do you think it is he's leaving?
I think it's massive. I think emotionally, I think that's where it kind of feels like it's hitting hardest, because I think among a lot of fans, I think there was a feeling that this might be the time for him to move on, obviously, because he spent years slogging it out, keeping this up. You know, I think there's only so long you can kind of keep fresh with that kind of thing. And I think for him personally, he's more than a chance to go somewhere else and develop himself as a manager. I think, like you said in interviews, he wants to try and put some promotions on his CV, and to be honest, he's got every right to want that. You know, he's been great for us. But yeah, emotionally, he's been at the club for 17 years, since 2002. He captained us at Wembley for the playoff final when we went up to League Two in 2007, like biggest day in the club's history. Was a player in the Football League, some great moments. And obviously, he's taken over as manager. He's done amazing to keep us up. Maybe things have been going a bit stagnant. I think only time will tell now, but at emotional level, at the very least, it's massive. It's kind of gutting.
Also, I think there was a Twitter poll or something on social media saying, would you want Jim to go at the end of the season? I think there was a fairly high turnout by your fans. The one thing I want to ask, really, what's going wrong? Because, as I say, he's one of the longest serving, one of the longest serving EFL managers. What's gone wrong this season? What's the season going to look like for Morecambe and Reedy for in the next few months?
I think what Jim Bentley said in his media interviews, I think what you might have been referring to there is there was a Facebook poll and on the fans group. And what happened is one of the owners voted in this poll, Jim should go after a few games if results don't pick up after a few games.
Okay.
Which was a little bit controversial, obviously. And I'm not sure if that was a deliberate kind of soft politics thing to try and egg him out. Not too sure, to be honest, but... I think Bentley's mentioned that in his interviews at File, but that was the thing. I think this season, I don't think he's had a great relationship with the new owners. I think we had a lot of good players at the end of last season. We brought in January. A lot of them have gone. We kind of took stock. We've got some new players in. I think we all felt quite helpful about this season, but things haven't been picking up, and it's the performances haven't been good at all this season. Obviously, you do have to mitigate for the fact that our budget, we are where we are in the league. But maybe I think there's a feeling among some maybe things have just stagnated. Maybe he needs a refresh, maybe, because he's a great manager. And I'm sure he'll do. I hope he does really well in his other ventures. But maybe for both parties, we need a bit of a refresh.
And Kevin Ellison's one of those characters that everyone in lower league football knows. Do you think there's a chance he'll get the permanent job, or is it just a caretaker role for him?
It'll be interesting to see how that develops. I know he is thinking. I know he does think about going into management potentially. Whether the time has come too early for him, and obviously he's got Barry Roach with him as well, taking over the first team duties at the minute. I'm not too sure. Obviously, I think the bookies have him relatively high up. Whether that'll kind of transpire. We're not too sure. I know that I think one of our owners said this morning that they're going to be discussing with the board how to proceed with managerial appointments. I mean, obviously, Bentley was a bit of internal recruitment. Stuart Drummond, our head of our academy head, has been touted for the job a bit, but I think we'll have to see for now. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what approach him and Barry Roach take over this weekend.
So following on from that, I mean, I remember last time we were in the Football League and we played you, I think he was playing then. As I say, he's a notable player. Has he been playing much this season, or has he been taking a little bit of a backseat now? What, he's 33 now as a striker?
Yeah, and I think he's 40 years old. It's amazing he's still going. But I think he started at the start of the season. He played a couple. I think he was out the side for a bit, and then with a couple of injuries recently, and also he scored a late goal against Northampton to get a draw the other week. And since then, he's generally been in the side. So he's been played three games last week, which is quite spectacular.
Impressive.
A guy his age, But yeah, he has been in the team recently. But I wonder if... I don't know if he'll still be in the team come this weekend, obviously, with him taking over some managerial duties.
Joe, I just wanted to ask you, obviously, Morecambe at the bottom of the table, obviously the worst goal difference, but where's the light at the end of the tunnel for you? When will that... Can they turn that around, or this is it now? I know it's only October, but are you fearing the worst, or you're sensing that there may be light at the end of the tunnel, they can turn it around, maybe even starting with this weekend?
To be honest, it's a big time of uncertainty at the moment. Obviously, under Bentley, we always manage to find a way out. And... Obviously, with him, you kind of think maybe he can repeat it, or maybe. But on the other kind of flip side of the argument, you do think are we just sleepwalking into relegation? So, to be honest, I think it depends how we kick on, who we appoint, if that new manager has a positive impact or not. But yeah, at the moment, it's pretty hard to say. I think, we've got the safety blanket of Bentley's gone, and, you know, I think it almost is a bit make or bust at the moment, to be honest.
Well, what is your score prediction for the weekend, Joel?
Blimey. I'll go positive, but not too positive. I'll say 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Sitting on the fence there, Joel, but you are at home. I won't expect anything less. Really, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Joel Shooter there, Morecambe fan. 1-1, he's saying, but is 1-1 enough for Orient? When Morecambe are down there, they're looking for that first win under Cole Fletcher. Are they going to get it? Brendan, I'll start with you. A, how do you think the game will play out first?
You've got to hope we can get that win, but I think under Ross, we were very open, kind of, you score, we'll score. We're a good bet for a both teams to score bet. So under Cole now, I think it's more going to be a bit more defensive stability. We saw that on Saturday. It was kind of more measured in our approach. We kind of kept the ball a bit more. And I can't see it being a high-scoring affair. I'll go for 1-0 Orient.
Ooh, 1-0 Orient, the away win and a clean sheet. Julian, were you not agreeing with Brendan's synopsis there?
I think he was probably looking there. Joby was looking up in the second half, and defensively, yeah, we were stronger. I thought we were very, very, very suspect at times on Saturday. I think
they came on strong, didn't they, towards Inca? Yeah. Maybe not strong, was, but they had their chances.
No, there was,
the end,
a player who came on and noted it out that they're in 24.
For the moment.
Yeah. I was going, come on, blow the whistle. Please blow the whistle, because he was literally just tearing everyone, another one, and they didn't know where he was. That was embarrassing. So for me, Saturday, I think we'll play really well for 25 minutes. I think we'll really get there to a first half by Christmas. But no, all jokes aside, I think we'll play better. I think Cole's had a week or so with the players. I think he's starting to sort of embed what he wants to do. I think we'll score. I think with Wilkerson coming back, I wouldn't say he scores, but we've got a couple of strikers in the side. We'll play slightly differently. I think we'll get it'd be 2-2 or 3-0.
2 or 3-0. Strong 2 Orient wins and 2 clean sheets. Looking like Cole Fletcher is going to get that first win. Can we get the hat trick? Adam, what do you think? How do you think the game will play out?
As the voice of reason in this.
Yeah,
studio.
Come on, Adam. We need a little bit.
All my positive energy has been dispersed for the next 6 months at least. Yeah. I really think we might struggle. I think Cole Fletcher mentioned in his interview after Saturday that the boys had travelled a long way in the away games and they were a bit tired, which is true, but Morecambe's also a very long journey. Probably weather's not going to be too nice. I think, you know, Kevin Ellison, although they're in a bit of trouble, he's a massive folk hero there, and yeah, I do think that it will get the crowd up. I do think the players might play up to it, and we've struggled a bit against some of the teams around us at the bottom this season, and I unfortunately think we might lose.
But if you do lose, how 2-1. Damaging will that be, Adam? Because this is the team at the bottom. Next week, you know, we're going to come on and talk about it. It'll be no winning free for Cole Fletcher, and it'll be lost to the side that can't buy a win at the minute. Worst goal difference, you know. Are we going to start sending that message?
I think social media will go mad as it does, but I think realistically the next few games aren't going to be the measure of Carl Fletcher. I think that, again, it's all about his style, and I think going up to Morecambe is probably going to be difficult to implement a style. I think that is going to take a few weeks, and I think that although it would be very disappointing to lose, don't get me wrong, on Saturday, I do think, although it's the bottom of the team, it's a hard place to go to. Pitch is probably going to be a bit rubbish.
And it's going to be raining as well.
Raining. Just, yeah, so, yeah, I think a point probably be acceptable to Carl. Obviously we want to win, but I fear the worst.
Well, Adam is the voice of reason. He's saying they fear the worst, but it'll take a point. Julian and Brendan going for strong Orient wins. We're sorry, O's fans, if you don't get the win. We're sure you will get the win. We'll be talking about either way next week, and we're sorry, Sally, because Liverpool have just scored again. It is now Liverpool 4, Arsenal 4, and still 25 minutes to go in that game. What a thriller there at Anfield. This has been the Leighton Orient Fan Show. We will see you next Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.